A Werewolf Shifter Romance Audiobook written by Catherine Stewart. Prologue. The full moon was a fever, and his pack was burning. This was no symphony of power. It was a shriek, a cacophony of splintering bone and panicked snarls. And through it all moved Orion, the Alpha, a black shadow of controlled fury. He slammed one of his own wolves, Kael, to the forest floor. A brutal, necessary act to stop him from savaging another. The air smelled not of triumph, but of his pack's blood, of his own sharp despair. Elder Maeve limped to his side, her gaze sweeping over the wounded. "It's the sickness of the moon," she rasped, her voice brittle. "It worsens. A curse." His response was a low, guttural growl, his eyes fixed on Kael's trembling form. "The old chronicles, they called it a sickness," she insisted, her voice dropping to a near whisper. "And they spoke of a cure." He didn't want to hear the old myths. He didn't, but he listened. An anchor, in the storm. Maeve's eyes bored into his. A true omega. He wanted to dismiss it. A dying legend. A fool's hope. But as he looked upon his broken, bleeding pack, he knew. He was desperate enough to chase a ghost. Chapter 1. The screen's glow was a liar. It promised connection, clients, deadlines, a world humming with life. But out here, it was just a lonely rectangle, a tiny light in the vast, breathing darkness of the forest. Rowan traced a sharp logo on her tablet, a perfect clean line. She loved lines. Lines made sense. You could control a line. Deep down, she knew the truth. Her life wasn't controlled. It was contained. She'd built this cabin, this sanctuary, with the insurance money, from her parents. A tragic accident, they'd said. A rock slide on a mountain road 10 years ago. And just like that, her world had been reduced to a single sharp line, between before and after. Maybe it was fate she ended up here, surrounded by ancient trees that felt more like family than most people. She pushed back from her desk, the chair scraping. A lonely sound on the worn wooden floor. The scent inside was stale. Thick. She needed to breathe. Outside, the air was different. Alive. It tasted of damp earth, of pine needles sharp as spice. Of life and death turning in a slow, endless circle. As if pulled by a string, she walked towards the Titan trees. Her bare feet sank into the cool moss. She didn't know what scared her more. The loneliness inside, or the wildness out here, that called to a part of her she refused to name. Her body moved on instinct. Silent. A deer looked up, its dark eyes soft, curious. Not scared. Animals were never scared of her. A strange little fact. Like a story about a girl who could speak to the silent creatures of the woods. But then, something inside her shifted. Without warning. A tremor. Not an earthquake. No. A vibration of wrongness. A deep, sickening shudder that had nothing to do with the earth. The deer bolted. Birds fell silent. Her own breath caught. A cold weight settled in her chest, suffocating. The silence was louder than any sound. It was a predatory silence, the kind that comes just before the pounce. Before she could move, she knew, with a certainty that chilled her to the bone, that she was no longer alone in her sanctuary. And just like that, everything changed. Chapter 2. The heavy oak table felt like an anvil on Orion Blackwood's soul. Around it, his council sat. Their faces etched with the same weary tension that pulled at his own muscles. Frustration. Fear. The metallic tang of dried blood. His arm was broken in 3 places, Alpha. Marcus's voice was rough. Liam just lost it. He didn't even recognize his own brother. If you hadn't been there. Orion's jaw tightened. He didn't need the reminder. The memory was a fresh wound. To make things worse, this was the 3rd report. This week. The sickness of the moon. It was a poison. A poison he was supposed to cure. He slammed his hand on the table, the sound cracking through the room like a gunshot. Silence. I am aware of the situation, Marcus. His voice was a low growl, an Alpha's command. We will increase patrols. We will reinforce the dens. We will endure. We will break. In that moment, Elder Maeve spoke. Her voice was thin, but it cut through the tension like a knife. Endurance is not a cure, Alpha. It is a slow death. From the corner, a young warrior named Cade scoffed. And what do you suggest, Elder? We chase old wives' tales? His sharp eyes flickered to Orion. A challenge. Maeve ignored him. Her gaze was on Orion. Only Orion. The chronicles don't lie. They speak of a time when our transformations became unhinged, when the pack's spirit was untethered. Get to the point, Maeve. The point, she said, her voice dropping, pulling them all in, is that a pack without its heart cannot stand. It needs an anchor, a true omega, to soothe the storm inside us all. Cade laughed, a short, ugly sound. An omega? We haven't seen a true omega in a century. They're a myth. Orion wanted to agree. He truly did. Because the alternative was terrifying. But deep down, he knew the truth. His pack was dying. He was failing. And a myth, a legend, a ghost of a chance, was better than no chance at all. Which meant he had to make a choice. Without another word, a scout burst into the room, chest heaving. Alpha, the rogue from the east. He's crossed deep into human territory. He's heading for the national park. Chapter 3. The forest was a blur. A world Orion knew better than his own skin. He ran on four paws, powerful legs eating up the ground. The rogue's trail was easy, a foul stench of fear and instability, a sickness, an imbalance that made the beast inside him snarl. His best trackers, Liam and Elena, flanked him. A silent, deadly unit. Their mission was clear. Find the rogue, subdue him, drag him back. But then, as the wind shifted, something new slid into the air. It was unexpected. Orion skidded to a halt, paws digging into damp earth. He lifted his great head, nostrils flaring, trying to capture it again. What was that? Not the rogue, not animal, not human. Something else, something ancient, powerful. Sun-warmed wildflowers, rain on dry earth, and something impossibly soft, like fresh cream. The scent was a whisper, yet it roared through his senses, silencing everything. It was delicate, yet had a core of unbreakable strength. It promised peace. Balance. It promised home. Omega. The word wasn't a thought. It was a revelation. A true omega. Here. Now. He dismissed Maeve's words, a myth, a ghost. In the span of a breath, the mission changed. The rogue was a threat, yes, but this scent, this was a solution. This was the anchor. This could be the cure. It had to be. Because a pragmatic Alpha didn't believe in ghosts. But he damn well believed in opportunities. With every heartbeat, the scent grew stronger, pulling him. A siren's call to his wolf. A beacon of hope to the man. Without thinking, he veered off the path, following the invisible thread. A low growl silenced Liam's questioning look. The Alpha led. They followed. He broke through a line of ancient ferns. The scent became overwhelming. He could taste it, and he could see the source. In a small, sun-dappled clearing, the rogue wolf scrambled away into the undergrowth. But that wasn't what held Orion's attention. No. His world tilted, his focus narrowed. A single point, lying unconscious on a bed of moss, as if placed there by fate itself, was a woman. Her dark hair was a halo around her head. Her chest rose and fell, slow, steady. And from her skin, from her very essence, poured the most powerful, most perfect omega scent he had ever known. His instincts surged. As the silence roared around him, one word echoed through the core of his being, a possessive, undeniable claim. Mine. Chapter 4. Her first breath was a mistake. It pulled in the scent of wood smoke, damp earth, and something else, something wild, overwhelmingly male. Her thoughts spun. Where was she? This wasn't her bed. The soft wool beneath her was rough, smelling of pine and leather. A beat later, her eyes fluttered open. The world was canvas and shadow, a tent. Through the open flap she saw them, figures moving in the firelight. Big men, broader and taller than any she'd ever seen. Their movements, fluid, predatory. A deep, primal fear shot through her veins. Cold, sharp. Her heart skipped, then it hammered against her ribs, a frantic drum. She had to get out, now. As if summoned by her panic, a shadow fell across the entrance. A man ducked inside, and the small space seemed to shrink. She couldn't breathe. It was him, from the clearing. In the dim light, he was even more imposing, a mountain of muscle and quiet power. He moved with a grace that was unnerving. "You're awake." His voice was a low rumble, a sound that vibrated deep in her chest. Her own voice trembled. "Who are you? Where am I?" Instead of answering, he took a step closer. With his scent in the air, a strange thing happened. Her terror didn't vanish, but something else rose up beside it. A bizarre sense of recognition. Her bones remembered him. It made no sense. It was insane. He stopped. "My name is Orion. You're safe."
"Safe?"
She tried to push herself up. "I was unconscious in the woods, and now I'm wherever this is, with you." Under the weight of his stare, she felt so small, so fragile. But then, Orion did something that shattered her reality. He let his own wolf surface just for a second. His eyes, they blazed, liquid luminous gold. They weren't human. They were the eyes of a predator, of a wolf. Her breath caught, a strangled gasp. Everything, the tremor in the forest, the silence, the way animals never feared her. It all clicked into a terrifying picture. What are you?" His golden eyes held hers, and in their depths she saw not a monster, but a king. In that moment she felt it, a powerful, possessive energy washing over her from him. It wasn't a thought, it was a statement, a claim. "Mine." It should have terrified her more. So why? Why did a traitorous part of her soul seem to answer? Chapter 5. Come morning, she was a shield of locked arms and wary eyes. Her scent, that impossible blend of wildflowers and peace, filled the tent. A stark contrast to her fear. Her fear was a problem. He needed her calm. He needed her consent. Which meant he had to do this right. He entered carrying a tin cup of steaming water. Ginger floated inside. He'd seen her press a hand to her stomach. His wolf had noted it instantly. He wanted to soothe her, to wrap her in furs, to eliminate whatever caused her pain. A dangerously protective instinct. He crushed it down. This was a negotiation, not a courtship. "This will help." She eyed the cup, then him. "Help with what?" "Your discomfort," he said, his voice even. Truth be told, her discomfort unsettled his entire wolf. As she sipped, he began. "My pack, my people, we're sick." He chose his words with care. "It's a condition tied to the moon. It makes the change. Unstable. Dangerous. We're losing control." He watched her face. Searching. She was an Omega. Her instincts had to know. What's worse? If she said no, his last hope was gone. "What does that have to do with me?" she whispered. "You," he said, leaning forward. "You have a unique quality. An essence. When you were near, the rogue wolf calmed. Your presence is a balm to the fever." He saw the flicker in her eyes. She knew. He laid out the proposition. A devil's bargain. "I want you to stay with us, with my pack, for 6 months. Your presence, I believe, can act as an anchor, helping us regain stability." The space between them burned. An anchor? A tool? He could see the questions in her wide, terrified eyes. "And after 6 months?" "You would be free to go," he promised. "And you would be paid, enough to live comfortably for the rest of your life. True freedom. A gilded cage. He almost told her everything. About the Omega Anchor. About how her very soul was the key. But then, he held back. No. It would sound like a prophecy. A fairy tale. Better to frame it as a contract. A practical solution. A lie of omission. A necessary one. Because he couldn't risk scaring away the only cure his people had. She had to say yes. Chapter 6. The silence of her cabin had never felt so profound. So empty. She stood in the doorway, a duffel bag clutched in her hand. The scent of her own life. Lavender soap and old paper, for what felt like the last time. Behind her, Orion waited. A silent, powerful mountain who had turned her entire world upside down. A 6-month bargain. It was insane. A kidnapper's demand dressed up as a job offer. Yet, she had said yes. She didn't know why. Maybe it was the raw desperation in those impossible golden eyes. Maybe it was the memory of a story. A girl who could soothe wild things. Or maybe, just maybe, it was the undeniable pull. That strange, terrifying hum beneath her skin that started the moment she met his gaze. Deep down, she knew the truth. She was just as desperate as he was. Desperate for something, anything, other than this crushing silence. As she closed the door, it felt like closing a book she could never read again. And just like that, everything changed. The journey was a blur of towering trees and unspoken tension. Orion led the way. His presence a constant, warm weight at her side. He didn't push. He didn't rush. He simply existed. And his existence made her feel safer than she had in 10 years. How was that possible? Soon after they arrived, it wasn't a town. It was a collection of large, rustic log cabins nestled in a hidden valley. Smoke curled from stone chimneys. The air here was different, saturated with life. With the scents of dozens of people, wood smoke, roasting meat, and that same wild, musky power. Her arrival did not go unnoticed. People stopped. They stared. Curiosity. Suspicion. A tall, handsome man with cold, calculating eyes watched her with an unnerving intensity, his gaze flickering between her and Orion. She felt like a strange new pet being presented to the pride. A beat later, as she stood there under the collective weight of their stares, she felt it. A subtle shift in the air. A collective sigh of tension she hadn't even realized was there. The very atmosphere seemed to ease, to soften around her. As if the forest watched, she realized with a jolt that this wasn't in her head. Her presence, her essence, was real. It was a tangible force. And that realization, more than the golden eyes or the insane bargain, was the most terrifying thing of all. It was real, which meant her new life, and its dangers, had just begun. Chapter 7. The night of the full moon tasted like ozone, and anxiety. A raw electric energy pulsed from the forest, a wild heartbeat that echoed in her own. Orion had ordered her to stay inside the main pack house. He'd looked at her before he left, his golden eyes intense. Don't be afraid. A simple command. A foolish one. How could she not be? As the sky darkened, the sounds began. First, a low, rumbling harmony of growls. Then, the sickening, wet crack of shifting bones. Her stomach churned. A wave of howls rose into the night. Not a beautiful, lonely sound, but a chorus of raw, untamed agony. It was the sound of 1,000 souls fighting for control. And losing. Her instincts surged, an empathy so strong it nearly brought her to her knees. She felt their pain, as if it were her own. No matter how hard she tried, the terror seeped through the thick log walls. The howls grew frantic, dissonant. She could hear snarls, yelps of pain. They were hurting each other. Because of that, a strange, powerful instinct bloomed inside her, a fierce, protective urge. Without thinking, she closed her eyes, not on her fear, but on the peace of her own quiet forest. She imagined that feeling, a soft, warm light inside her. Then she let it go. A silent, scented song of calm into the violent night. And just like that, something shifted. The frantic edge of the howling softened. The violent snarls lessened. The chaotic energy beating against the house didn't vanish, but it gentled, soothed by a steady, loving hand. Her hand. She felt it, clear as day. Dozens of wild spirits latching onto her, drinking in her peace. Her world tilted. She was doing this. Moments later, the door creaked open. Orion stood there, framed in the doorway. All man now, but the raw power of the wolf still clung to him like a cloak. His shirt was torn, his hair damp, his chest heaving. But it was his eyes that stole her breath. They were wide, his golden gaze stripped of all calculation. All that was left was awe. A raw, profound gratitude that reached across the room and wrapped around her heart. When her name left his lips, it was a broken, reverent whisper. Rowan, Chapter 8. You are not a porcelain doll, Orion said 2 days later, his voice firm. You are living among wolves. You will learn to protect yourself. His hands were on her. His touch was meant to be instructional. He showed her how to shift her weight, how to block, but there was nothing clinical about it. His large hand wrapped around her wrist, a jolt of fire. He stood behind her, his hard chest pressed against her back, his arm guiding her waist. With every heartbeat, she became more aware of him, not as an alpha, but as a man. His scent, pine and wild musk, filled her head. Her thoughts spun, she stumbled. Focus, he murmured, his breath warm against her ear. How could she focus? The space between them burned with unspoken thing, a tension so thick she could taste it.
It was practical, necessary. She needed to be able to defend herself, a vital asset to his pack, a logical reason, a good one. It was also a complete lie. Deep down, he knew. He was making excuses to be near her, to touch her. He had replayed the moment he saw her in the clearing 1,000 times. Not the thought of an alpha finding a solution, but the primal, soul-deep recognition of a wolf finding his mate. He craved her scent. He yearned for her laugh. He desired to see her spirit, not just her power, shine. That's why he was here, his body humming with a pleasure so intense it was almost pain. To make things worse, he saw Cade watching. His ambitious beta wasn't obvious, but Orion felt his gaze like a physical weight. Cade's eyes were on Orion's hands as they lingered on Rowan's waist a second too long. In that single glance, he saw it all. The judgment, the calculation, the whispered accusation of an alpha going soft, a dangerous perception.
That afternoon, she sought out Elder Maeve. The old she-wolf sat weaving a basket, her gnarled fingers clever and quick. Maeve smiled. He is teaching you to fight. That is good. An alpha protects, but a Luna must have her own claws. Rowan sat on a nearby stump. I don't understand any of this. What I am. What he wants me to be. Maeve's fingers stilled. Her eyes, cloudy with age but sharp with wisdom, held Rowan's. Orion sees a solution, child. He is a good alpha, but his heart is burdened by duty. He sees the lock, and you are the key. She paused. But the pack, we feel something else. We feel the heart. The balance you bring is more than a calming trick. It is a restoration. She leaned forward, her voice a whisper. Your spirit, Rowan. It feels like an old soul. One the moon itself remembers. Chapter 9. Duty. That was the word he clung to. It was his duty to show her the territory markers. A practical, logical task. It had nothing to do with the fact that walking beside her through the sun-dappled forest felt more right than anything he had ever known. His wolf pressed forward, content, and for once, he let it happen. He was pointing out a series of claw marks on an ancient oak. But then, as the wind shifted, a new scent slithered through the trees. Wrong. vile, oily and foul with old blood and no honor. Shadowfang. Between one breath and the next, the teacher vanished. The alpha predator stood in his place. Time stood still, every muscle coiled tight. Before he could think, his body moved. He grabbed Rowan, pulling her roughly behind him, shielding her. She let out a small gasp. A growl rose in his throat. Not a warning, not a challenge. It was a low, rumbling sound of pure, primal possession, a declaration. This one is mine. A lone wolf emerged from the trees. Lean, scarred, yellow, intelligent eyes. A Shadowfang scout, testing them. His eyes flickered past Orion, landing on the woman partially hidden behind him. The scout smirked, a greasy, knowing smirk that made Orion's blood boil. The air crackled. Orion didn't need to shift. He simply let a fraction of his true alpha power loose. A promise of swift, brutal, and unimaginable violence. He saw the smirk falter. He saw the arrogance become fear. He saw the moment the trespasser realized his catastrophic miscalculation. Without another word, the shadow NFG wolf lowered its head and melted back into the shadows. The tension broke. The danger gone. Yet his heart still hammered. His arm was still protectively in front of Rowan. He turned slowly. He saw the fear in her wide eyes, but beneath it, awe, and a spark of that same fire he felt. The silence stretched. He should say something, justify his actions. Instead, the words that left his lips were raw, unplanned. "I'm sorry," he rasped, his voice rough with the echo of his growl. "I didn't mean to frighten you." But it was a lie. The real, terrifying, and exhilarating truth hung in the air between them. His reaction had nothing to do with territory, and everything to do with her. And they both knew it. Chapter 10. Beneath the shy light of a crescent moon, Orion found himself watching her. Again. Rowan sat by the communal fire, a small pack child asleep in her lap, her fingers gently stroking the girl's hair. A quiet smile played on her lips. In that moment, she wasn't an anchor, not a solution. She was just Rowan. And the sight of her, so gentle and at peace among his people, made his wolf ache with a longing so fierce it stole his breath. He had to be closer. He needed to share the one thing that was truly his. As if pulled by a string, he approached her. "Run with me," he murmured, his voice low. Her head snapped up, her eyes wide with surprise and something else. A hesitant thrill. In wolf form? Yes. It wasn't a command. It was a plea. Her heart skipped. The thought was both terrifying and exhilarating. But when she looked into his golden eyes, she saw no demand. Only a raw, vulnerable invitation. She nodded. What followed was a revelation. The change this time was not a chaotic agony. With Orion's steady presence beside her, it was an unwinding, a release. Her bones shifted not with a crack, but with a deep, resonant hum. Her human skin gave way to a coat of sleek, silver-white fur. She was lighter, faster, her senses exploding with the million tiny details of the night. They ran. It was a dance, a silent duet of souls. His massive midnight black form was a shadow of power and grace, and her smaller silver body was the moonlight that chased him. They wove through the ancient trees, their paws beating a perfect synchronized rhythm on the forest floor. There were no words, no deals, no pack politics. There was only the wind in their fur, the earth beneath their feet, and the undeniable joyous connection of two halves of a single whole. For the first time, she felt not just safe, but truly, breathtakingly free. Later, as they shifted back to their human forms, the air between them shimmered. Before she could move, he reached out and gently brushed a stray leaf from her hair. His fingers lingered on her cheek, a river of fire. The moment their eyes locked, she knew. Deep down, this was more than a bargain. It had to be. And because of that, she felt a new desire take root. A desire to understand. She would ask Elder Maeve. She would learn the truth of what it meant to be an Omega. Chapter 11. I want to understand, Rowan explained to Maeve the next day, her hands twisting in her lap. My history, the history of Omegas. The old she-wolf's face lit up, a proud, crinkling smile. It is good that you ask, child. You are a true blessing to this pack. A perfect anchor. The word, anchor, still sounded so clinical. But Maeve's warmth was disarming. Come, Maeve said, getting to her feet. The Chronicles will show you. The honor of your role. She led Rowan to a small, dusty room. It smelled of old leather and time itself. From a heavy shelf, Maeve pulled down a massive, iron-bound book. The scent thickened as she opened it, the old pages whispering. Here, she said, her gnarled finger pointing to a section of faded script. The Omega Anchor Tradition. It describes exactly what you are doing for us. Rowan leaned forward, hopeful, curious. She began to read. It spoke of a pack spirit becoming untethered by lunar sickness. It described the borrowing of a potent, unbonded Omega's essence. Her brows furrowed. Borrowing, she kept reading. It mentioned a temporary contract, agreed upon in times of great need. A duty to be performed. Again, her eyes landed on the phrase, and her blood ran cold. The world tilted. Upon the full restoration of the pack's spiritual balance, the anchor is to be honorably released. Its purpose fulfilled. Released. Purpose fulfilled. Temporary. Her breath caught. Daggers in her heart. Every kind word from Orion, every lingering touch, the run under the moonlight. Was it all just a lie? A strategic manipulation to keep his tool happy. Compliant? Her deepest fear, of being used, of being nothing more than a temporary fix, erupted with brutal, searing clarity. The heavy book felt like a tombstone. As the truth unraveled, something inside her didn't just break. It shattered. Tears blinded her. She clutched the Chronicle, its weight the only real thing in a world of smoke and mirrors. She had to find him. He had to answer for this. Chapter 12. She found him by the training grounds. Fury, cold and sharp, propelled her forward. The pain was a living thing inside her. A storm of betrayal. Without a word, she strode up to him and shoved the heavy, open Chronicle into his chest. Was this all I was ever supposed to be? Her voice was a ragged tear in the quiet afternoon. Answer me. Was I just a tool to you? A temporary fix?
The moment the words left her lips, his world stopped. He saw the book. He saw her tear-streaked, devastated face. The ground fell away. He had known this day might come, but he had prayed, foolishly, that he could make her feel the truth before she ever saw the cold plan on paper. He was wrong. So terribly wrong. Rowan, wait, he started, his voice hollow. He chose honesty, the worst possible choice. Yes, the word tasted like ash. At first, it was a pragmatic solution. My pack was falling apart. I was desperate. Her choked sob was a physical blow. He saw her flinch, saw the last bit of hope die in her eyes. Between them, something cracked, irreparably. But it changed, he pleaded, taking a step toward her. She recoiled. Rowan, everything changed. The moment I saw you, it started changing. What I feel for you now has nothing to do with that book. It has nothing to do with the pack. It's for you. But she couldn't hear him. She couldn't see past the original, calculated betrayal. The truth of his initial pragmatism was a wall of ice between them, his frantic, heartfelt words melting against it, useless. His alpha presence, usually a cloak of command, was now a tattered mess of guilt and raw, terrifying vulnerability. The nearby pack members felt it. They shifted, their gazes dropping. They could feel their alpha breaking. Before he could speak again, a gut-wrenching sob tore from her throat. She turned and fled, a silver-white blur of pain disappearing into the woods. He was left standing alone, the Chronicle of his sins heavy in his hands, the echo of her shattered heart roaring in the sudden, crushing silence.
Chapter 13. The room they had given her was no longer a sanctuary. It was a cage. A beautiful cage scented with pine, wood smoke, and him. His scent clung to the blankets, to the very air she breathed. A constant, torturous reminder of the fool she'd been. Her chest ached, a pain so deep it felt like a physical wound. She spent the hours replaying every moment, every shared glance, every lingering touch, every soft word. No matter how hard she tried, she couldn't see them as genuine anymore. They were memories tainted by the cold, hard ink of the Chronicle. His apology for the growl, a tactic to soothe the asset. The shared run, a bonding exercise to strengthen the anchor. The tenderness, a performance. He wasn't a man falling in love. He was a king managing his most valuable resource. Because of that, her own essence, the calming aura he prized, had turned into a storm. It churned inside her, erratic and sharp, a perfect mirror of her shattered heart. She could feel the pack's unease outside her door, a low hum of anxiety that fed her own. Let them feel it. Let them feel the consequences of their alpha's lies. Truth be told, a bitter part of her wanted them to hurt. Eventually, she couldn't stand it anymore. She pulled out the worn duffel bag. Her body moved on instinct, a slow, methodical retreat. She pulled a sweater from a drawer, folded it, placed it inside. Each item was a brick in the wall she was rebuilding around herself, a fortress of old scars. She had survived her parents' deaths by becoming an island. And just like that, she would become an island again. It was better to be lonely and whole than to be wanted and broken. Her fingers brushed against a small, smooth stone in her pocket, a keepsake from her quiet forest. A promise. She would survive this. She would go home.
Chapter 14. His pack was fraying. Orion could feel it. His despair was a poison, and Rowan's anguish was a gaping wound in their center. To make things worse, he saw Cade, his ambitious beta, no longer subtle, speaking in low tones to disgruntled warriors. They looked at Orion not with respect, but with judgment. He was losing them. He was losing everything. He had to get through to her, not for the pack, not anymore, for him. His wolf was a frantic, clawing thing beneath his skin, howling for its mate. He found her by the window, her back to him. He could feel the waves of pain coming off her, so sharp and cold it was a wonder the air didn't freeze. Rowan. Her name was a raw whisper. She didn't turn. What do you want, Alpha? Come to check on your investment? The title. A blade she twisted in his gut. Please, he begged, taking a step closer. She flinched. The small movement nearly broke him. Please, just listen. He poured it all out. How the pragmatic plan had died the moment he'd seen her. How her courage had captivated him. How the thought of her leaving was a physical tear in his soul. You are my mate, Rowan, he said, his voice thick. In every way that matters. The Chronicle? The deal? That was my mistake, my fear, not our truth. He saw her shoulders tremble. In a final, desperate gambit, he surrendered the one thing that defined him. I will give it up, he choked out. My title, my power, everything. If you will stay, if you will just give me a chance to earn back your trust, I will step down as Alpha. Let Cade lead them. I don't care, I just want you.
The word slammed into her. I will step down as Alpha. The world tilted. A part of her, the foolish, hopeful part that had fallen so deeply in love with him, screamed at her. Believe him. Run to him. His pain was real. She could feel it, a raw, bleeding wound in the space between them. But then, the Chronicle. Released, its purpose fulfilled. She didn't know what scared her more. The man who would lie to save his pack? Or the man who would give up a throne to keep his cure in place? Was this just another grand gesture? The ultimate manipulation? Her heart was being torn in two. Her soul answered his plea, even as her mind screamed in protest. She turned. A single hot tear finally escaped. With every heartbeat, the silence stretched. He waited. "I can't," she whispered, the words shattering what little was left of her own heart. She walked past him, out the door, leaving him utterly, completely broken in the quiet that followed. Chapter 15. The emergency council meeting felt like a trial, and he was already guilty. The elders sat around the great oak table, their faces grim. Maeve's eyes held only a deep, profound sorrow. The others were not so kind. "Your distraction is affecting the pack, Alpha," Elder Tiber stated, his voice hard as granite. "The instability returns. The people are restless." In that moment, Cade saw his opportunity. He stood, his expression a perfect mask of respectful concern. But his eyes, they held the cold glint of a circling predator. "Alpha," he began, his voice smooth, "your heart is heavy. It is understandable. But with the Shadowfang threat growing, the pack needs a leader with absolute focus." He let that hang in the air. "For the good of the pack, I propose a temporary leadership council to guide us through this crisis until you have regained your control. A coup. In all but name." The betrayal was so sharp, so precise, it was almost impressive. Orion felt the walls closing in. His mate had rejected him. His beta was moving against him. His pack was losing faith. He was at his lowest. He glanced past the council, through the open doorway. And he saw her. Rowan. Standing in the shadows. Her face a maelstrom of conflict. She had heard it all. She was watching. As their eyes locked across the distance, something inside him shifted. A spark of the old fire. He had been a pragmatic alpha. He had become a heartbroken man. But as he looked at her, at the woman his soul claimed as its own, he knew what he had to be now. He had to be her alpha, her mate, a king worthy of his queen. With a single glance, he drew on a strength he didn't know he had. He straightened his shoulders, and his true alpha power flooded the room. The air crackled. The arguments died. Cade's smug expression faltered. Before either could speak, he opened his mouth to reassert his claim, to fight for his pack and for her. But then a wolf, wounded and frantic, burst through the doors. "Alpha," he gasped, blood dripping from his shoulder. "The Shadowfang. They are massing at the southern ridge, a full-scale assault. They'll be on us. By the next full moon." The room went deathly silent. The internal threats had just been dwarfed by the promise of all-out war. Chapter 16. The first wave of the Shadowfang attack was not a charge. It was a flood. A tide of snarling, mangy bodies poured over the northern ridge, a wave of violence aimed to drown them. Orion met it head-on, his wolf a blur of black fury. He fought with the desperation of an alpha defending his home, his claws and teeth tearing through the enemy. But then his mind was split. His heart was a traitor. With every enemy he struck down, his eyes searched the battlefield for her. For Rowan. He'd placed her in the most defensible position, near the Great Hall, surrounded by his best guards. Still, the fear for her was a physical ache, a distraction he couldn't afford. What's worse, he felt his pack struggling. Their shifts, which should have been bolstered by the fight, felt brittle. He saw Liam, a seasoned warrior, hesitate for a fraction of a second, his control slipping. In that instant, a Shadowfang wolf exploited the opening, slashing deep into Liam's shoulder. The pack's spirit felt dissonant, as if their anchor was dragging.
She watched from the porch of the Great Hall, her heart a block of ice in her chest. Each snarl, each yelp of pain, echoed the shattering of her own trust. Her grief and rage were a poison. And her aura, the very calming essence Orion had bartered for, was no longer a gentle song. Instead, it was a chaotic shriek of her own inner turmoil, a wave of dissonance that rolled across the battlefield. She saw it happen. She saw Liam falter, She felt his control slip, felt the jarring psychic static that came from her, and then she watched in horror as he was struck down. Her breath caught. It was her. Her pain was doing this. Her broken heart was getting them killed. The realization was a physical blow, more brutal than any claw or tooth. She was not just a broken-hearted woman. She was a weapon being used against the very people she'd sworn to help. In that moment, a massive scarred wolf, bigger than the others, broke through the lines. His yellow eyes locked on her. It was their leader. He threw his head back and howled, his voice a mocking roar that carried across the chaos. "Come for your little anchor, Blackwood," he taunted, "before I claim her for myself." And just like that, the battle became terrifyingly personal.
Chapter 17. The world narrowed to a tunnel of violence. The Shadowfang Alpha, Vorlag, his name a curse on the wind, was heading straight for her. Her guards formed a wall of flesh and fury, but the enemy was relentless. They were trying to break through to get to her. She scrambled backward, her foot catching on a loose stone. She fell hard. Vorlag slammed into her last remaining guard, a young wolf named Finn. He pinned the smaller wolf with a sickening crunch of bone, but his eyes, those vile yellow eyes, were on her. He loomed over Finn, a monster of matted fur and old scars, and he smiled, a predator's smile. "I remember a scent like yours," Vorlag snarled, his voice a low, gravelly rumble that vibrated in her bones. "From a long time ago, a pretty she-wolf, and her mate, on a lonely mountain road." Rowan froze, her blood turned to ice. "Mountain road. They thought it was an accident," he gloated, his voice dripping with sadistic pride. He was enjoying this, telling her this story. "A simple rock slide, so clumsy." He laughed, a horrible guttural sound. "It was so easy to push their car over the edge. Your father was a minor rival, always preaching about peace and boundaries. Stood in the way of my plans to weaken this territory for an eventual takeover." No. No, it couldn't be. Her thoughts spun. The official report, the police, the sympathetic looks. 10 years of grief built on a lie. It wasn't a tragic accident, it was murder. He had murdered her parents. The monster standing just feet away, the one leading this army, had orphaned her, had created the lonely, walled-off woman she became. In the span of a breath, the pain of Orion's betrayal was eclipsed by a grief so immense, so absolute, it felt like the sun had gone out. But beneath the grief, something else ignited. A fire. A white-hot, vengeful fury. Her pain sharpened, no longer a chaotic storm, but a single, deadly point of focus. Meanwhile, she heard another roar, this one from across the battlefield. A sound of pure, righteous rage. Orion. He had heard it. He had heard it all. And he was coming. But would he be too late? Chapter 18. Vorlag's confession was gasoline on the fire of Orion's soul. He fought with a ferocity that bordered on madness, a single thought driving him. Get to Rowan. Kill Vorlag. But it wasn't enough. The Shadowfang were too many. His own pack was flagging, their spirits fractured by the dissonant waves of Rowan's grief and his own despair. He saw Cade and his small faction fighting defensively on the flank. They weren't breaking ranks, but they weren't pushing forward either. Their hesitation was a knife in the back, forcing the main line to stretch, to thin, to break. A huge brute of a wolf slammed into him from the side, its claws digging deep into his ribs. Pain, hot and sharp, exploded through him. He threw the wolf off, but his movements were slower now. His vision started to blur at the edges. The Blood Moon pack was being pushed back, their backs nearly to the great hall. They were cornered, beaten. He looked for Rowan and saw her scrambling away from Vorlag, who was now advancing on her. He had failed. He had failed his pack. He had failed his mate. The core emotional question of their bond felt bleakly answered. The lie had broken them, and now it was going to get them all killed. Defeat was a bitter poison in his throat. She saw it all. She saw the pack she had grown to love being cornered, their proud forms battered and bloody. She saw the hesitation in Cade's eyes, the moment of selfish calculation that was costing lives. And then, She saw Orion. She saw him take that vicious hit, saw him stumble, saw the light in his golden eyes begin to dim with exhaustion and despair. He was losing. He was dying. All for a pack that was faltering, and for a woman who had pushed him away. In that moment, as the silence roared around the sounds of battle, her own heartbreak seemed small, insignificant. It was a wound, yes, but the pack was bleeding out. Orion had lied to her, yes, but he was also fighting for her justice and willing to die for her. Her grief for her parents, her rage at Vorlag, her pain from Orion's betrayal, it all swirled into a single, powerful vortex. This wasn't about the lie anymore. This wasn't just about revenge, this was about family. Her family. The broken, beautiful, loyal family that was dying right in front of her. Her instincts surged. Her wolf pressed forward. She had to make a choice. Let her pain be their tombstone, or forge it into a weapon. And she let it happen. Chapter 19. She saw him stumble. She saw her new family dying. And deep down, she knew the truth. Her pain was a luxury she could no longer afford. Her heartbreak was a poison, and she had been letting it kill the very people she had, against all odds, grown to love. The choice was simple. It was brutal. Let her personal storm drown them all, or become the anchor she was always meant to be. In the span of a breath, she made her choice. Her grief for her parents, a cold stone in her heart for 10 years, did not vanish. Instead, it ignited, transforming into a white-hot fuel for righteous fury. Her heartbreak over Orion's lie, a shattering wound, did not disappear. Rather, it reforged itself into a fierce, unwavering, protective loyalty. This pack was hers. This alpha was hers. And she would not let them fall. As if fate demanded it, she opened the floodgates of her soul. She let it all out. What followed was not the gentle calming song from before. No. This was a roaring anthem of power. A wave of pure, undiluted Omega essence, strength, courage, loyalty, and a promise of absolute victory, slammed across the battlefield. It was a golden tide that washed over the battered bodies and weary spirits of the Blood Moon Wolves. She saw the effect immediately. A young warrior, faltering and bleeding, suddenly found his footing, his wolf form solidifying with a defiant snarl. The pack's collective spirit, once a frayed and discordant mess, now surged, uniting into a single, unbreakable bond. Their howls changed. The despair was gone, replaced by a rising chorus of fierce, triumphant defiance. They felt her. They felt her choice. They felt their Luna fighting with them, for them. While the forest held its breath, she searched the chaos for him. Her eyes found his across the blood-soaked ground. He was looking right at her. He felt her power. He saw her unwavering resolve. And in his luminous golden eyes, she saw the last vestiges of despair burn away, replaced by a look of pure, unadulterated love and awe. In that moment, between them, something cracked. Not in heartbreak, but in healing. And she let it happen.
Chapter 20. One moment, he was drowning in failure. The next, she saved him. It wasn't a gentle wave. It was a tsunami of power. It slammed into him, into his very soul, and it was her. All her. But this was not the quiet peace from before. This was a battle cry. It was the roar of a lioness, the fury of a storm, the unwavering strength of the mountain itself. The energy hit him like a physical blow, erasing his fatigue, sealing his pain, and fueling his wolf with a fire so intense it felt like he could tear the world apart. He looked and saw her standing amidst the chaos like a queen, a beacon, his anchor, his mate. With a single glance, his purpose became absolute. A roar of his own tore from his throat, and he launched himself back into the fray. He was no longer just fighting. He was an extension of her will, a weapon guided by her strength. He moved through the Shadowfang wolves not as a warrior, but as a force of nature, his path now clear, his goal singular. End this. Get to Vorlag. He was closing the distance. The scarred Alpha was just yards away, his yellow eyes wide with confusion at the sudden turn of the tide. But then, before he delivered the killing blow, Orion did something else. He stopped. He planted his feet firmly on the blood-soaked earth. He turned his head, his gaze finding hers across the chaos, locking with it. And with the entire world as his witness, he howled his truth. It wasn't a cry of battle, it was a declaration, raw, unedited, torn from the deepest part of his being for all to hear, friend and foe alike. "Rowan!" his voice boomed, infused with Alpha power. "I brought you here for my pack, yes, but I stayed for you. My love for you is real, Rowan. It's beyond any prophecy. You are my mate. You always were." The battlefield seemed to still for a heartbeat. Cade's face, on the periphery, was a mask of pure shock. Vorlag snarled, his confusion turning to rage. But Rowan. Her name hung in the air, and her eyes, shining with tears of fierce, brilliant joy, met his. Her love was a mirror of his own. And as their bond pulsed, solidified by his truth, she unleashed her full, untamed power. The tension broke. It was time to finish this. Chapter 21. The world narrowed to the space between him and Vorlag, fueled by Rowan's power, by his public declaration, by a love so profound it was a physical force. Orion was no longer just an alpha. He was an avatar of vengeance, an executioner. He slammed into the Shadowfang leader with the force of a landslide. The clash was brutal, a maelstrom of tooth and claw. Shadows danced between them as two massive alphas fought for dominance. But this was not a battle of equals. Vorlag fought for power, for territory, for greed. Orion fought for something more. He fought for his mate. He fought for his pack. More importantly, he fought for the memory of two innocent people murdered on a lonely mountain road. There was no contest. With every step he took, he drove Vorlag back, his attacks relentless, precise. He broke through the other Alpha's defenses, his strength absolute. Eventually, he saw his opening. He lunged, his jaws finding their mark, and slammed the scarred wolf to the ground. He pinned him, his claws digging deep into Vorlag's shoulder, the Shadowfang's lifeblood hot and sticky beneath his paws. But he didn't kill him. Not yet. He leaned down, his voice a low, terrifying growl that carried to all those nearby. "You took her parents from her. You built your ambition on their graves. Confess what you did. Say it." Vorlag struggled, but under the weight of Orion's stare, his will broke. I killed them," he choked out, the words a death rattle. "Pushed them over the edge." It was enough. It was justice for Rowan. In the quiet that followed, with the confession hanging in the air, Orion ended it. It was a swift, clean, final movement. Justice was served. As the body of the Shadowfang Alpha fell still, the remaining invaders broke, retreating in a panicked, disorganized mob. The battle was over. The Blood Moon Pack, battered but whole, let out a single, triumphant howl that shook the heavens. But Orion barely heard it. He ignored his own wounds, his own exhaustion. His only thought, his only need, his entire world was Rowan. Chapter 22. The triumphant howl of the Blood Moon Pack faded into the smoky, blood-scented air. Victory was a heady scent, but Orion barely registered it. His entire world, his entire being, had narrowed to a single point. Her. Rowan. He pushed through his celebrating, wounded packmates, ignoring their claps on his back. His eyes were locked on her. She stood near the great hall, her silver-white wolf form still shimmering with a faint ethereal light, her eyes wide and luminous. She was watching him, waiting.
She saw him coming, a king returning from war. He was covered in blood and grime, moving with a weary urgency that was all for her. The battle was over. The monster who had murdered her parents was gone. And in the sudden, ringing quiet, the only thing left standing was the undeniable, earth-shattering truth between them. His declaration on the battlefield still echoed in her soul. "You are my mate." As if pulled by a string, her body moved on instinct, shifting back to her human form, her clothes tattered but her spirit whole. He didn't slow down. The moment he reached her, he pulled her into a fierce, possessive embrace. It wasn't the grip of a captor, but the desperate grounding hold of a man who had almost lost everything. There was no hesitation, no doubt. He buried his face in the crook of her neck, his body trembling with the aftershocks of battle, and inhaled her scent as if it were his first breath of air. Rowan. He breathed her name against her skin. It was a prayer, a vow, a song of relief. Her own arms wrapped around his massive frame, holding him tight. The scar of his betrayal was still a part of their story, but it was no longer the whole story. His love shouted for the world to hear his fury on her behalf. That was the truth that mattered now. She tilted his bruised, blood-streaked face up to hers, her thumbs gently wiping away the grime. "Orion," she whispered back. Her world tilted, finally settling into place. She was home. Before either could speak another word, a pained cry from a nearby wolf broke the spell. Without thinking, they turned. Together, a single unified entity. Their own healing could wait. Their pack needed them. Chapter 23. In the days that followed, a fragile peace settled over the valley. It was the peace of survival, of rebuilding. And for the first time, Rowan was not on the outside looking in. She was at the very heart of it. Her world was no longer her silent, lonely cabin. It was the bustling, noisy, loving chaos of the pack house. She moved among the wounded, her Omega presence a steady, comforting hum in the air. She wasn't just an anchor in a storm anymore. She was a healer in the calm. She brought broth to the injured, her touch soothing their pain. She sat with the children, her quiet strength chasing away their nightmares. Her instincts, once a source of confusion, were now her greatest guide. She belonged here. She knew it in her bones. The pack knew it too. The warriors who had once eyed her with suspicion now nodded with a deep, reverent respect. The women of the pack welcomed her with warm smiles and easy conversation. They had all heard their alpha's declaration. They had all felt her power turn the tide. She was their Luna, in heart and in deed. On the third day, Cade was brought before the alpha. He didn't look ambitious anymore. He looked small and broken. He had seen the truth of Orion's love and Rowan's power, and it had shattered his selfish ambitions. "I was wrong," Cade said, his voice low, his eyes on the floor. "Your heart was not a weakness, Alpha. It was our greatest strength." Orion, embodying the compassionate leader he had become, did not sentence him to death. Instead, he exiled him. "Go. Find a new pack. Learn what it means to be loyal to a heart, not just to power." Later, as Rowan sat watching the sunset, Maeve joined her. The old she-wolf's eyes twinkled. "An Omega soothes a pack," she said softly. "But a Luna leads it. I told you the moon remembers you, child." In the quiet that followed, Rowan finally felt the last of her old walls crumble. She was not a tool. She was not a temporary fix. She was home. As if summoned by the thought, Orion appeared at her side, his hand finding hers, their fingers lacing together perfectly. "There is one last thing," he said, his golden eyes soft with love. "One final ceremony."
Chapter 24. He led her to a hidden clearing deep in the heart of their territory. It was a sacred place, where a waterfall cascaded into a moon-dappled pool, the air itself humming with ancient magic. The entire pack was gathered, their faces illuminated by soft torchlight. This was where Lunas were formally welcomed. Orion stood before them all, his hand holding Rowan's. His voice was clear and strong, with no trace of the desperate man he had been. "I brought Rowan here under a lie of omission," he began, his gaze sweeping over his people. "I saw her as a solution to our sickness, a tool to save us. And for that, I am ashamed. It was the act of a pragmatic leader, but not a whole one." He then turned, his golden eyes locking onto Rowan's. and the love in them was a tangible force. But a bond forged in desperation became a love forged in truth. Rowan is not our savior. She is my mate, my heart, my partner, and my equal in all things. He raised their joined hands. I present to you, Rowan Blackwood, the true Luna of the Blood Moon Pack. A unified howl of joyous, absolute approval erupted from the pack, shaking the very trees.
His public honesty, his willingness to show his flaws, healed the last tender scar on her heart. She looked at him, at this magnificent, changed man who had fought for her, and her soul answered his. Tears of pure joy streamed down her face as the pack celebrated their union. The core question that had haunted her for so long was finally answered. Yes. A bond born from a lie could, against all odds, become the most unbreakable love of all. That night, in the quiet of their cabin, the world fell away. There were no more words needed, no more confessions. There was only touch. His hands, so strong and sure, explored her body with a reverence that made her tremble. Her fingers traced the new scars on his skin, testaments to the battle he had fought for her. The space between them, once filled with tension and mistrust, now burned with a fire that was all for them. It was a slow, passionate, and deeply emotional joining, a physical manifestation of two shattered souls finally becoming whole. It was not the desperate act of a man claiming a prize, but the tender, worshipful love of a man cherishing his mate. Afterward, as they lay tangled together, the moonlight streamed through the window. He pulled her close, his chin resting on her head. "My brave Luna," he murmured into her hair. She smiled, her heart full to bursting. They stood on the porch, wrapped in a blanket in each other's arms, looking out at the peaceful, thriving valley. Her head rested on his chest, right over his steady, beating heart. Their scents mingled, a perfect harmony, a new equilibrium. Together, they were whole. And just like that, everything was finally, truly, beginning. Epilogue. 2 years later, the sacred clearing was not a place of solemn ceremony, but of laughter. A little girl with her mother's dark curls and her father's golden eyes chased a fluttering butterfly near the waterfall's edge. She tumbled onto the soft moss, and as she looked up at her parents, her eyes flashed with a familiar luminous light. Orion wrapped his arm around Rowan's waist, pulling her against his side. The scent of them, of pine and wildflowers, and the sweet milky smell of their daughter, was the scent of his world. "Our own little storm," he murmured into her hair, his voice thick with a love that still humbled him. Rowan leaned into his strength, her heart full. "Our perfect peace," she corrected softly. The memory of the bargain, of the lie born from desperation, was a distant ghost, a faint scar from a battle long since won. In its place, this life, this family had taken root. They were not just an Alpha and his Luna, a pragmatic leader and a healing anchor. Beneath the moonlight, surrounded by their thriving pack, they were simply everything, and their love was the only law that mattered.
Thank you so much for watching this video. We really appreciate you spending your time with us. If you enjoyed what you saw, we've got a whole library of other videos packed with more great content just like this waiting for you on our channel. So why not dive into another one right now? And hey, if you want to make sure you don't miss out on our next upload, hit that subscribe button and the notification bell. We'd love to have you join our community and see you in the next video. Thanks again.